is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer, shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGalley. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Lodge with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McGalley.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, 97.1 The Fan, Bob McElligott, Jody Shelley with you. Got to be honest, I knew we would be doing this show today. One way or the other, we would be doing it. I didn't know if this would be a post-mortem show or if this would be a grab a hold of a chance and keep the series alive show. And fortunately, it is the latter of the two, with the Blue Jackets getting a win last night, 5-4 over the Pittsburgh Penguins, and forcing a Game 5 in Pittsburgh tomorrow. And Jody, listen, that game had its warts and its blemishes, but the end result is exactly what the Blue Jackets wanted. And really, the way they went about it last night, it impressed me. There was way more that impressed me than bothered me about the way that they played in a high-scoring game with 9 goals between the two teams. But I just thought their mental state, and we talked about it yesterday, you and I thought their mental state was great, and they maintained that mental state throughout 60 minutes, and that was really the biggest key, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you look at that previous game, the overtime loss 5-4 to the Penguins, and that one hurt because the way that was scripted in Game 3, it felt like, boy, these fans are going to leave this building with the victory. You know, they rallied after an emotional start, and I think everybody left discouraged, not only the fact that they were down 3-0, but that happened during that game. You know, it's been that season where there's been a lot of nights where the Jackets fans and the Blue Jackets pull out of this area feeling really good about what just happened. And I really thought that it was a big, really punch in the gut the other night, the overtime loss in Game 3. But you're right, mentally the Blue Jackets came into this game. And we're up close to this team, and you're up close with John Tortorella a lot. And I'm interested to hear what you thought about his demeanor because, listen, everybody was so discouraged after Game 3. The next day was a day to rally and regroup. But he had a singular focus, and he kept that in his mind all throughout the game day yesterday, all during the game last night, and it was impressive to watch him. Like, when I watched him behind the bench when Nudavara scored his goal, I mean, he just had the biggest smile on his face. Like, can you believe it? Like, so they want something good to happen, and we hear him say that all the time. But he wants to feel good, too, behind that bench. He's a part of that group now. And the way he prepared them all season long, the way he prepared them last night, and the way they walked into this arena yesterday and the way they jumped out there for the opening faceoff, it was life. Life was back in that locker room in a sense of it was carefree. They know their jobs by now. They played 82 games together. They played 3 playoff games going into last night. They know their jobs. So they just did it. There wasn't a lot of thought. There wasn't a lot of angst. There wasn't a lot of worry. It was just, let's go play hockey in front of our fans and have fun. And you could see the heroes from last night that they really did that. They weren't sitting back waiting for something to happen. And it all came together. And, boy, I tell you what, it feels good today, doesn't it?
It feels fantastic today. And you can sit on that for today. And then tomorrow you've got to play another game. And it's either going to be more fantastic or it's going to be more disappointing and it'll be over. But John Tortorella, you mentioned him. And I have been surprised in this whole process in the last week because I keep expecting him to come in one day and be super intense. And it has not happened. He has been laid back. As laid back as you can be for a guy that's trying to get his team to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think he's been really even-keeled, off the ice anyway. On the bench, you have a better idea. You're right down there. But he's been even-keeled. He's said all the right things. And I just feel like he's striking a tone of breathe. Breathe, relax, as you said. Just play. Have fun. And he did say that at the end of the regular season, too. He said, look, this is the time where we're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to enjoy being in the playoffs. And I think he's done a really good job of driving that home. And as you said, his theme yesterday was play the music. At the end of the game, he just wanted them to play the music in celebration. And I laugh in some ways because he talks about X's and O's not being that important, but how much he loves to teach and coach. This is what he's teaching. He's teaching themes. Play the music. Well, how do you play the music? You do your job. You relax. You play hard. You lay it all on the line. And then you get rewarded at the end. And especially for young players, it's a life lesson as much as it is a hockey lesson. It's how you approach everyday life. I think he could go into any company in this town and talk to any group of employees, and they would walk out of there feeling the same way. They would feel good. They'd probably run through a wall for the guy if he asked them to. And I think he just has that right now. And as he said last week, it's no longer coaches versus players. He said it's not us and them. It's just us. And that's really what I feel like he drove, especially yesterday.
Well, when you're a player in the locker room and, you know you've underachieved or you haven't done exactly what you've been asked, you sit there and you wait for the tongue lashing or the spotlight in a negative way. And if you go back to the last 11 games of the season after they clinched, there was moments where the kids and the players here maybe thought, oh, we're going to get a kick in the pants today. And it didn't come. And that builds a little bit of more respect in a strange way, and especially during a long season. And I think you're looking at that after game three and the way he approached yesterday. It's almost like a little bit of a shock treatment in the sense that, boy, that was refreshing that he just came in and said, you know, he didn't go the old, we're so disappointed, we're underachieving. I mean, negative, negative, negative. The sun was shining. He came in and he told them, hey, you know what? After tonight's game, we just want to play the music, get out of here. Enjoy the weather, come back tonight ready to be re-energized. And I think as a young player or a veteran, you're almost sitting there thinking, wow, thank you. You mean I can relax and live a little? And those are moments that I think he's very, very in tune with and good with, is just realizing what the room needs. And if you go back to last year, there was a point towards the end of the season where he kind of just backed off. He said, you know what, this is not the group of guys I'm going to try to mold. We have to get some people out of the way. Let's let them have the summer and come back and camp, and then we'll make this identity change and start at the standard being very high. And it's worked. I mean, there's been times this year where he's been all over William Karlsson on the bench. And, I watch it up front there because I'm between the benches. And I've seen him do it with other players, and it's like you wonder how William's going to react. Well, the backing off might have helped William. The opportunity to play with Matt Calvert, who was re-energized last night, Anderson. So, you know, you can be specific and tell guys what to do and how hard they have to play and what you expect of them. But at a time like yesterday, the backing off and that kind of shock approach, I think you see how his guys responded, and I think that's encouraging for Torts.
There were some lineup changes yesterday, and some were by necessity, and others were to make a change. And by necessity, Marcus Nuttavaara goes in because Zach Werenski is out for the playoffs. He's injured, and he's not going to play. So somebody had to go in. That was Nuttavaara. Gets his first chance to play. Scott Harrington had been playing. He gets taken out. That's a choice. And they put Kyle Quincy in to play his first game. Matt Calvert coming back from suspension. That was going to happen. Lucas Sedlak comes back from injury. So you've got to make a tough choice and take out the veteran Scott Hartnell and put Sedlak back in the lineup. But every one of those things worked. And I want to ask you about Kyle Quincy first. I know Nuttavaara had the goal, and we can talk about that in a minute. But Kyle Quincy was not in this series, according to John Tortorella, because he was concerned about his foot speed against the very quick Pittsburgh Penguins forwards. I thought in last night's game, he wasn't fast, but he was where he needed to be at all times. And when you're on the ice playing this game, how much can you compensate for lack of speed just by having the knowledge of where you have to be, when you have to be there, and how to change angles on those opposing players to benefit your team?
Yeah, it's really has to come down with experience. And the fact that Kyle Quincy had sat up and watched, and I'm sure there was steam coming out of his chair as he was sitting there watching this team play and lose game 1, 2, and 3. He stepped in with something to prove, which is always good, I think. But he stepped in with that mindset. He heard the quote. I'm sure he heard the quote, I'm too slow. Maybe he was out of position before, but not last night. And you're right, it's the experience and the knowledge and watching and learning and knowing the system. He was huge. I mean, he came in and he laid out Guentzel a couple times in that first period. Of course, Guentzel comes back and scores late. That's what he does. But I love the way Kyle Quincy played the game last night. I loved having him in the lineup. Nothing against Scott Harrington. Scott Harrington did a good job, but there's just something there's added value, and Harrington will be there in a couple of years with experience, and that's what Kyle Quincy brought. And the players around him were better because Kyle Quincy made some big plays, and I think as a young guy, to see Kyle Quincy make those solid plays, have those big hits, and keep his shifts short, it kind of gets everybody in a good rhythm. I think he relieved a lot of pressure from Jack Johnson, David Savard, and Seth Jones because he was reliable, and then that. And then you watch Carlson and Nudavara go in there and just play hockey. It was a great mix last night, and I hope it continues tomorrow night.
Marcus Nudavara, he's been in and out of the lineup here recently. He scores the goal. The best thing about his goal was, well, it could have been the worst, but it was the best. He's standing 3 feet in front of the net. He's a defenseman. What's he doing on that rush? Why is he up in a two-on-one? And then why is he just standing there and not cycling back out toward the blue line to play his position? No. He was on the attack, and it goes back to the safe is death mantra that John Tortorella has preached all year. He had to put above the door when you're leaving the dressing room to go to the ice. There it is, safe is death. Go get him. So he did that. And Gabriel Carlson, yeah, he's played a handful, just over a handful of NHL games. And those two were a pair, and they didn't hurt the Blue Jackets whatsoever. And, you know, Nudavar, at least being here all year, I really felt like last night he got it. Oh, you could just see where the 81 games of being around, whether he was in the lineup or not, whether he was injured or he was a healthy scratch, it just seemed like that's where he took all the knowledge and he packed it into one 60-minute time frame. And he especially packed it into that 2 minutes when he jumped up the ice and got in there and scored the all-important third goal. That changed a lot of things. Penguins came back and they got two, but they never were able to take the lead, and it was because of that third goal. Did you get that sense that – I'm not saying he arrived, but for that moment, he kind of put it all together, and he was a part of the team, whereas, you know, he's played games this year, and he scored, but I really felt like last night he solidified himself as one of them.
Yeah, and I think coming out of the press box again is rejuvenating. Why am I sitting in this press box? Why are those guys playing? After a loss in game one, okay, now I'm mad. Game two, I'm furious. Game three, what's going on here? Am I... So watch, wait, and listen, and work. And that's all he did. And he came back, right? And I agree with you, Bob. He came back with such a purpose, and he came back with such a free, kind of freewheeling game. And it was almost like, and we talk about Werenski and Jones raising his level with Werenski because he's a little bit older, and he's got a little experience, and he calls upon himself to be that guy for Zach. Well, I see Nudavara coming back after being here all season and seeing Gabriel Carlson come across the pond as a 20-year-old with no experience and get ahead of me in the lineup. Excuse me. And I watch this kid play well. I'm motivated. I don't know if I'm sleeping at night. So I feel like Nudavara stepped in the lineup with something to prove, and that's good in a long season. That's very good because sometimes, I don't care what level you're at or what you're doing, sometimes it gets a little cozy. You know, you walk in the room, you know you're in the lineup. You know you're playing with such and such. You read the quotes at how well you're doing. I'm good. Let's relax. You take a little dip. Wait a second. This league will eat you up. And he got a little glimpse of that, and the Blue Jackets are benefiting.
And not only what's going on right now for Marcus Nudavara, but you make a good point. Gabriel Carlson's going to come to a training camp in a couple of months, and so is Marcus Nudavara. And right now, if you're Marcus, you're saying, who's got the inside track? Is it him? Or is it me? I've been here longer. He's played more from the time he got here. He's a first-round pick. I'm a seventh-round pick. What's going on? So you're right. I think it's great. And we talked about this, the healthy competition going into the playoffs. Last night, I don't think there's any argument that the Carlson, Calvert, Anderson line was the best in the way they handled everything. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second here. Why don't we bring in our guest?
Yes.
Who we have, because he finally played a playoff game. He finally, you know, this guy, he didn't have a choice. It wasn't his choice to sit and watch. He had to. He was injured. He gets in last night, and he was a factor. We are joined right now by Lucas Sedlak. And I talked to you yesterday morning before he got into the game, and you were so excited. What was it like to come over the boards, get on the ice in that atmosphere? You played here in front of packed crowds already this year, but what was it like last night?
Yeah, it was definitely more fun, you know. These games matters. Every shift matters. It's a little bit different than regular season. everybody's trying 100-110%, so it's definitely more fun, and I enjoyed it.
What did you work on when you were out? Did you watch video and work on specific things?
No, not really. I mean, I watch the games from upstairs, so you get to see a lot how we play. So I talk to my line mates, how we could play and what we can expose and stuff like that. So I didn't really have time to work on something in the practice because I was on the ice for a couple of times only.
How about before you got into this team this year? What kind of player were you coming in, and how have you changed your game?
I think I've been the same player last couple of years, you know, good defensively, good on face-offs, good penalty killer. All those little aspects of the game, I've never been the shiny offensive guy who scores the goals and stuff like that, except maybe last playoffs. Yeah, I take a pride in taking like good defensive stuff, shutting players down, and I like to do that. Hopefully, as I go on in my career, I will get better at that and play some important role on the team.
We're talking with Lucas Sedlak, centerman for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and a quick follow-up on that, Lucas. You sit out, and there's always a concern as a player, am I going to get right back in the lineup? How relieved are you that you've got the trust of Torts, not just to get back in, but you played in some key positions last night?
Yeah, that's huge. Definitely it helps your confidence, you know. You were out for a couple of weeks, and it's the most important game of the year, and he trusts you, and he put you out there. So it's definitely good for me, and that's why I felt pretty good on the beginning. I wasn't sure what I can do and what I can't. So as the game went on, I was gaining more confidence, and I felt better.
We were just talking about guys sitting in the press box having to watch. And as I said, you had no choice. You were injured. You had no choice. And I sit in the press box every night, but not like you guys do when you're scratches. When you're there amongst the group, you guys sit together, and there's conversation that goes on. The guys that could be playing and aren't playing, how much talk is there amongst all of you, like, why that guy, not me, or why? What do you think's going on here? Do you guys confide in each other like that?
We obviously talk about the game, but it's usually like about the game as a whole. You know, it's not about one player, or we don't try to talk behind our guys' back and just we focus on getting better and get to the lineup and try to make some pressure on the guys who are in the lineup so they have to play better, you know.
And two guys you were sitting up there with were Kyle Quincy and Marcus Nutavara. We just got done talking about those guys and what an impact they had, each in different ways last night. But Nutavara is a guy who's like you. He's a rookie in the National Hockey League. And you said you're not shiny offensively. All of a sudden, he decided to be shiny offensively last night. When you guys watch that and you watch him take off up the ice, but then he gets the goal, what does that do for the bench?
I think it's just everybody's so happy for him, you know. We are guys who won't score that many goals, so I think everybody's just happy for us when we score a goal like this, especially first game back, playoffs, you know. So I think it helps to, like, encourage the bench, get some energy and stuff like that.
Talking with Lucas Sedlak, who played in his first Stanley Cup playoff game last night, you told me yesterday morning that you want to be a rat. Now, you didn't have a lot of opportunity to do that in last night's game. But as this series goes on, and you guys intend for it to continue here for a couple more games, just explain to the average fan. We got a lot of new fans that have come on this year, Lucas, with a lot of wins. So when you say you want to be a rat, describe that to people that don't know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I want to be in the guy's face all the time, you know, just all the little stuff, little slashes in front of the net, little scrums, and you have to play it smart, though. You can get a penalty kill or penalty, so you have to play it smart, and then they start to focus on you instead of on game, and it helps our guys to produce, I think.
Jody, you know all about that.
Oh, yeah, right. I used to try to deal with the rats, but anyways. Lucas, how about the building here? I mean, you've been in Columbus now for a full season. You know the fans, but you watched a couple games. It's different on the ice. How about the energy last night?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, when you see if all the fans stand up for a whole game almost, it's crazy. And it gives you that extra edge, I would say, or, you know, the extra energy you need to win the games. And even when we don't play that good in the game, we're still behind us. And that's why how we get better in the second, I think, too. And, yeah, it's huge for us.
And last night you're with the veteran Gagne and then your buddy Bjorkstrand. How important is that for you to get on that line and have Bjorky right there?
Yeah, it's good getting back after a couple of weeks and play with some players I played with before. It's good for me. I know I've played with Gags a whole year, and I played with Bjorkstrand last year in playoffs. So I knew what to expect, and it definitely helped me. And I think we had a couple of good shifts there in the first, second. We could score a couple of goals. Then we got scored on the third, but I think we played overall a pretty good game. Yeah, and hopefully we will score some goals in the next game.
You gave him an unbelievable pass across the neutral zone and set him in on a breakaway, and I saw you guys kind of laughing on the bench. What was that about?
We were just talking, but he had open net, and I was like, why didn't he just put it in? Like, I saw it in like slow motion, and I saw like 10 centimeters open net, and he was like, yeah, I just couldn't get it off my stick. Like, come on, man.
My first Stanley Cup playoff point up in smoke, says Lucas Sedlak, when Oliver Bjorkstrand. Yeah, great pass for sure. Now, you talked about the crowd being behind you. Now you're going to go into Pittsburgh, and you watched those games earlier in this series. How much different is it going to be on the road, and how important is it going to be for you guys to play the exact same way that you played last night and do that, you know, what they always say about being on the road? Simple, boring. How do you pull it off?
Yeah, I think we have to play smart, you know. I think we try to run around a little bit too much first couple of games. Last game we had a little bit less hits, but we had to puck more. So I think that was a little bit better for us. We create, I think, more dangerous opportunities. So we have to play smart, get a crowd out of the game, so have a good start. And, yeah, play good defensively because it's going to be tough, you know, with all the matchups. Probably they will put Crosby against me, right? So it's going to be a little bit harder for my line, but I'm looking forward to it.
So if they put him against you, you can teach him a few lessons, right?
We will see about that.
The confidence that you guys have, and we were talking about how loose you were as a team yesterday, and just the message. Yesterday's message was play the music after the game. That's what Torch said right from the beginning, and you guys did that. But you won 16 in a row at one point this season. I think it's only fair to say, and the people from the outside won't look at it. Jody and I are here every day. We know you guys so well, and we know how you get when things go well. It really starts to snowball in a good way. And I know it's only one win, but you won 16 in a row at one point. Who's to say you can't win four in a row? You've got to do it one day at a time, but how much more of a boost did you get just after that one simple win last night?
Yeah, you know, it's really big for us. You're looking for that kind of series changer, and that might be it. You never know. And we got some, I know it might sound silly, but we got some puck luck last game. You know, first couple of goals were bounces of the skate, stuff like that. So we finally get something going, and we will try to play hard and continue to play the way we did last game. And hopefully we will get one more win, and then we will go from that.
So Pittsburgh could become your favorite road city if things work out here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, definitely.
Lucas, thank you so much for taking some time. It was great to see you back in the lineup. Wishing nothing but the best against the Penguins.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is Blue Jackets centerman Lucas Sedlak joining us here on the Inside Edge. Jody and I have much more to come right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. Blue Jackets in Pittsburgh getting ready to play against the Penguins in Game 5 tomorrow night. Bob McElligott, Jody Shelley back here with you. Just before Lucas Sedlak came in to join us, I was going to ask you about what I thought was the most consistent line the Blue Jackets put on the ice last night, and that is William Karlsson, Matt Calvert, Josh Anderson. All season long, I've called them the stabilizers because when everything goes bad, put those three guys on the ice, they settle everything down. And they've been out. Calvert was injured for a while. Karlsson actually lost both his line mates there for a while because of the way things were going on with injuries and that kind of stuff. And Josh Anderson moving to a different line so Torts could try that out for the playoffs. But here we are in the playoffs. He comes right back to what worked all season long. They were terrific. Anderson had a goal. Karlsson had a goal. And Matt Calvert was just Well, he was Matt Calvert.
Yeah, he picked up an assist. He comes back from that suspension, and he comes out, and he's energized. And, again, I go back to the theme of this show where those four guys coming in had an impact, and it's because, well, Calvert didn't want to sit, but he had to. And the other guy, nobody wants to sit out of a game. So different reasons coming back. And, yeah, you know what? Calvert and Carlson have such great chemistry up front. And Anderson, I thought he was non-existent for most of the last two games coming into this one. But it's almost like he took the shackles off and just said, forget it. I'm just going to fly around out here, skate, hit, shoot. It's exactly what he did. Someone must have talked to him because the way he drove down that wing, that's what Josh Anderson can do. And that the defenseman can't do anything. And he puts that puck past Fleury. It was a tremendous play. So those guys are hard to play against because they have grit, they have experience, they have smarts, and they have speed. Great dynamic, and they did an excellent job against Crosby's line. Love the fact that Carlson got a goal because, you know, I mentioned Torts is pretty hard on him this season. That's going to happen, but the kid stays with it. He sticks with his job. He doesn't say a word. He just gets it done, and those are the guys you pull for. And listen, in the playoffs, it's strange the heroes that emerge. And you're talking about a line that's down there in the depth chart, in third line. But those are the lines that have to shine the brightest in those big games. And they did it right from puck drop. And I think everyone fed off them.
The goal that William Carlson got is great. But when you look at it again, it is fantastic. He goes in, he shoots the puck, misses the net, it hits the glass. Ian Cole is going behind the net. Ian Cole is, you could make the argument he's been the best defenseman for the Penguins in this series. He's all over the place, logs a lot of ice time. Important situations, he's on the ice. Carlson just simply goes behind the net, puts his stick right down on top of Ian Cole's. Now he can't play the puck. There's not a doggone thing that he can do. That gives Carlson the time to shoot right around and pick up the puck and then get it in past Fleury's skate. I mean, you know, it was fun to watch in real time, but when you go back and watch it in slow motion, what appreciation I have for what he did. And a guy that has been a defensive specialist all year long, he takes that trait and he plays defense. He turns it into immediate offense. I was really impressed.
Yeah, inside position on Cole. He had the speed. He had the inside. And then all of a sudden, that smart play, he had the puck. And then he had it on his backhand on top of the goal. Just got on the top of the goal line and threw it. And Fleury wasn't there in time. And Crosby was trying to bear down on Carlson. But a heads-up play. I mean, it was you're right. And the speed and down the wing, but it all generated off the initial shot. If he doesn't have that first shot, Fleury is not locked up on that side of the net. If he just tries a wraparound, Fleury's there. So puck off the net and then lucky enough to get it back. That's how the Blue Jackets have created all season long. That's how teams in the National Hockey League create. It's shot, rebound mentality. I like what Sedlak said because they did get some puck luck, and that's important. And it's amazing how little it takes to feel good about yourself. I mean, that's just a human trait. I mean, it takes very little to encourage and very little to discourage. And I think that in the playoffs, the veteran teams realize that they need to stay more encouraged and not get discouraged so easily. And, you know, if you look at the tape of the Blue Jackets, a lot of encouraging moments in the first three games. But then you can also have the built-in excuses that they could easily go to. But they're staying far away from them. The Pittsburgh Penguins are the Stanley Cup champs. We've lost Zach Werenski. We're not getting a big save. There's all kinds that we're young. They're not going there. And they showed that last night. And I think the most important thing about last night is they showed themselves what they could do. And I think that's all Torts wanted. All Torts wanted was them to say, we can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in a game. That's all their focus was. They came out with that. Now he's going to try to build on that. That's why I think Torts is, you talk about him and surprising people. Well, that's who he is. He's an emotional guy. He wears his heart on the sleeve. And sometimes it doesn't look great, but he's toned that part down. But if you're inside with him, you really appreciate what he does.
Let's take it one step further. Not only did they convince themselves they can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, but let's go to the regular season when they played them. They allowed one goal. They won, what, 7-1 here right before Christmas. The next one was a 2-1 win. Went to Pittsburgh, came back from being down 3-1, lost that one in overtime, 4-3. Then the last one, which I hardly even count, the 4-1 game. Then you get into the playoffs. Here's my point. the Blue Jackets were scoring, other than the seven-goal game, they weren't scoring a lot against the Pittsburgh Penguins, no matter who the goaltender was. Last night they won that game without Sergei Bobrovsky. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean Bobrovsky let in four. They scored five. I think that was really important for them because they've leaned on Sergei so much all year. His job is to keep those goal totals down because they don't score very much as a team. Last night it kind of went the other way, and I feel good for Sergei. That win, he needed it personally. The team obviously needed it. But I think that that's something that can work to get him back on track too, just getting a win in the series. But I think it's really important that they were able to do it, not without him, but they got five. That's a big deal for this team.
Well, that brings up a really good point. I'm not sure if you want to talk about it right now or take the break. I thought I was going to tease there, but
if you want to tease, we can take the break and come back with it.
I think we should take a break, and then why don't I follow up on that?
All right. So there it is. You've come so far in 3 years or 4 years, whatever we've been doing this. Now he's calling the shots, right? I used to run the show. Now I'm just a passenger. That's okay. But that's a good idea. Let's do a tease right now, and we'll find out what Jody has to say about the Blue Jackets outscoring the Penguins, getting Bobrovsky a win instead of Bobrovsky getting one for them. That's all coming up as we continue on the Inside Edge, 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge, 97.1 The Fan. Blue Jackets in Pittsburgh getting ready to play the Penguins game 5 tomorrow night. Got a lot of other series that are resuming tonight and some other teams that are facing elimination, down 3-0. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But when we last left you, Jody Shelley, the tease that he is, actually teased a situation with the Blue Jackets. I just got done saying that the Blue Jackets kind of won a game for Sergei Bobrovsky. He allowed 4 goals. They scored 5. They didn't need to really rely upon him last night like they normally do. He didn't have to keep the Penguins to 1 or 2 because his teammates found a lot of offense. Not only 5 goals, 5 different goal scorers, which was huge to me. But you wanted to elaborate more, so here you go.
Well, I look at that as a team victory because there were times last night where Sergei made huge saves early, Malkin, breakaway, huge plays throughout that game. So listen, I know the Blue Jackets had to score 5, but the Blue Jackets need to credit the team game. Sergei kept them in it, much like Fleury's done. The Blue Jackets changed their game. They finally made an adjustment in game. When they got a lead and it was in the third period, they actually played a trap. They actually sat back. There was a time in the game where they shrunk the neutral zone and sat back and said, "Okay, Pittsburgh, you're not gonna take it to us in your end. You're not gonna take us to us in the neutral zone. We're gonna defend our end and keep it simple." There was a change in mindset there. Every line that went out did it. And I thought in the first 3 games, the Blue Jackets thought they were gonna out hit and that they were going to get in a track meet with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that doesn't work. I don't care what team you are in this league. If you want to go and lay your cards down on that, go for it. And you would have needed 8 or 9 last night if Sergei didn't make those saves. Love the way that Sergei got rewarded, because you talked to him after the game, and there was a sense of relief with Sergei Bobrovsky. And I think that's a good thing for this team. Everybody wants, and I go back to Lucas Sedlak talking just moments ago, earlier in the show. This team really cares about each other. This team, he talked about the guys not scoring much and how everyone feels good for him. He knows that because he genuinely feels the appreciation, the excitement when he scores a goal. So when Nudavara scores last night, everybody, it's just a good feeling. They felt the same for Sergei. You always know your teammate struggles. You always know where he's his head at. You don't know how to approach it. But when you watch a guy fight through it, listen, Sergei wants every goal back, including in practice. We know that. But in the playoffs, he wants to be the guy, the horse to ride. It hasn't worked out for him, but the win is footing. And so he's got his footing, and he's got to appreciate that the guys in front of him gave him rum support. Because there's been times this year, we know this, Bob, that 5 goals were hard to come by. But they got it done last night. So if you look at this one game in a bunch of different angles, from Bobrovsky's angle, thank you. I made some saves. Yes, they got some past me. They are the Pittsburgh Penguins. Their power play is crazy. They do crazy things. But you guys helped me out in getting those 5 goals. So those two things combined, I think, with the – and then the change in mindset of Don't go after the next goal. And we talked about this in the first intermission. You got the lead. You don't need to get the goal right now. You need to lock it down, and we talk about patience. We heard the head coach, John Tortorella, talk about patience this year. Well, what is patience? Patience is waiting for your opportunity. So stick with your system. Four lines go out, 6D. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh, mistake. Go, go, go. Now you have an opportunity. Put it in the net. That Bjorkstrand opportunity, that was a huge one. Missed, I thought, early. He did have an open net. Lucas, you heard his line mate talking about it earlier about how could you miss that empty net. So that's how they have to approach it, is that patience. Is it might be not till minute 59 that we get our opportunity, but just wait because you will get it. And I think that's taking a page out of the Penguins' book.
I think another thing that made it easier on Sergei Bobrovsky last night is the Blue Jackets did a much better job controlling the play behind the net. Now, the Hainsey goal, they did get back there, and they were able to get it to the wall, and Rust had the screen in front of him on that one. But for all intents and purposes, the Blue Jackets either kept them from going back there and setting up shop, or, and I remember one time specifically in the third period, David Savard almost had his arm hooked around the post, leaning to make sure that the centering attempt couldn't come from behind the net and get to the top of the crease. I mean, he was covering every bit of that ice that he could, however he could do it, because he just watched that for three games. They stand back there, a la Wayne Gretzky. That's how he made his living when he played. Just stand behind that net and dish it out in front. Penguins couldn't do that last night.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that play by Savard, he did it a couple times. They don't want the puck coming between the player and the post. They want it to come on some kind of angle. That's too much of a severe angle for the goalie to come straight out. He's got to try to not only turn his head but find the puck in that angle. At least at a little slighter angle, he's already on that post, covered that quadrant of the ice. So interesting play there by Savard. They've made adjustments, and you're right. They worked last night, and but I'll tell you one thing, though. It's a good thing they had five, because when they were up 5-3 and then Pittsburgh takes a penalty and then they pull their goalie and the Blue Jackets still get hemmed in their own end and get scored on, you know, you kind of get that sense that – I got the sense last night that Pittsburgh taking a day off yesterday kind of motivated the Blue Jackets. They kind of thought they had it. I kind of watched Pittsburgh in warm-up. I watched them in the first period. They might have got a little too – comfortable with where they were at. They definitely did for what the Blue Jackets had in mind. So I would expect tomorrow night. I mean, obviously, tomorrow night's going to be the hardest game of the year for the Columbus Blue Jackets, but I think it is for the Pittsburgh Penguins too.
I think you're absolutely right. And I don't want to talk about many of the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I want to ask you about a guy that you know really well, and that's Ron Hainsey. He did get a goal in the game. He's played well in this series. And the reason I bring it up is because he's a former Blue Jacket and because he played over 900 games and had never played a playoff game in his life until this series began. And now not only has he played in the playoffs, he has a Stanley Cup playoff goal. When you separate what you hope your team does and how you hope your job continues while somebody else has to go home, how do you feel for Ronnie?
Really good. And, you know, he's a guy that's toiled around the league. He's had an excellent career. But rockin' Ron Hainsey last night puts one in here. And you could tell by his celebration. He's not a guy that shows a lot of excitement many times. He always kind of contains it. But he was thrilled to have that goal. It's impressive to watch him jump into that system. It's intimidating. It's intimidating to get traded to another team. It's intimidating to go to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I can't even imagine to jump into that room, defending Stanley Cup champions. Are you going to be with us or are you going to be in the way? Plus, they've got two veteran defensemen who are waiting to get in there. I know, well, Streit is one experienced defenseman looking to get in there. They've got injuries. And Ron is that guy that's fit in well. So he's a smart guy. He knows his limitations. And he's playing the exact way that they want him to play, because he's just getting rid of pucks, getting into forwards. And there you could see him up in that tough angled shot, put it on the net. So yeah, I was happy for Ron.
And he had another opportunity, too, where Sergei stopped him right in the crease. He came way up on the play, and Sergei stopped him. So, in the words of John Tortorella, I hope he sucks tomorrow. but he has played pretty well in this series. Do me a favor, bring up the schedule. Let's look at what else is going on. The series that – well, there are a couple of series that people are talking about, but right here in the Metropolitan Division, you've got the Toronto Maple Leafs are leading the Washington Capitals, the President's Trophy winner, 2-1. They will play again tonight in Toronto. Are you shocked by that?
Yes, but it's exciting because that young group in Toronto is playing with speed. And, you know, My first reaction is I'm shocked, but then when I watch the Capitals' body language, I'm not. There's a lot of high-end players there that are facing underdogs, and who doesn't love the underdogs in that story? So I'm excited for the Leafs. I think it's great for the league. I think it's great for the young stars in the league. It's great for the players' escrow. Obviously, the revenue generated will bring money back to the players that they lose in their check. 16% every check goes to the league just in case revenues aren't met. They're looking to get some escrow back. That's good. But no, it's exciting. If they can knock them off, this is a big series.
The Washington Capitals, this is their history. Yeah. They're trying to overcome their own history of failure in the playoffs. And, you know, they may very well come back and win this series. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, to me, have already succeeded in placing a seed of doubt because that you can just see the Capitals. You mentioned their body language. How many times do you see a guy and it's almost you can read on their face, here we go again?
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I listened and read some articles today about this series, and they're saying, oh, if Washington loses the next game, they're really going to feel pressure. Guess what? They already feel pressure. They already feel the pressure. This is not a good scenario. Toronto, the city, is rocking. So it's going to be intimidating, and I cannot wait. That's a 7 o'clock start tonight. 7:30, the Bruins and the Sens. That's a 2-1 lead for the Bruins. And Ottawa leads that series. I thought the Bruins were leading that series.
No, they got that win the other night in overtime.
Yeah, the night before last. That's right. And then this series surprises me, of course. The St. Louis Blues lead the Wild 3-0. And how about that? Mike Yeo gets fired from the Minnesota Wild, and now a dream opportunity for him to go back to Minnesota and take down the team he got fired from.
Yes. And, you know, the Blues kind of squeaked into the playoffs. They traded Shattenkirk right near the end. They get in, and the Wild faded at the end of the regular season. The Blue Jackets did too. And once upon a time, those were the two teams everybody was talking about through this season. And then the other series, Calgary against Anaheim. Calgary really blew it the other night and ended up losing in overtime. They let a big lead get away. So they are in big trouble there. And, of course, the Rangers beating the Canadiens last night 2-1, tying that series at 2. The Sharks just laid the hammer down on the Oilers 7-0. In the other series, Chicago is trailing Nashville 3-0. So a lot of exciting stuff going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we'll resume this series between the Blue Jackets and the Penguins tomorrow night. That game gets underway tomorrow evening at what time are we playing tomorrow night, as a matter of fact?
Yeah, let's check this out. Looks
like
we
should 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Pre-game coverage starting at 6. Jody and I will both be right here on the Fan starting at 6 with pre-game coverage tomorrow night. That'll do it for this week's edition of The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
March with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.